Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. What's going on, family? Man, so February is done. Here we are with March. We are still trucking away at 2020. And folks are dropping right and left, left and right. We had a jazz legend leave us just yesterday. I'm sorry. Apologize for not hitting the cough button. We had a jazz legend leave us just yesterday. Just another person in a long line of those who have left us and departed this earth in 2020. May they all continue to rest in power, without a doubt. But for those that are still here, the coronavirus has taken over the majority of the news. And I want to make sure that we get Rashi in this morning. Good morning, Rashi. How you doing, sister?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing, brother?
I'm well, thank you. Safe over there? No coronavirus? You good?
Man, Corona,
you got all them badass kids in your classroom.
Corona is scared of Kansas City. They know we play bullet ball here, so they know better.
Do you think there's an immunity among certain people to the coronavirus? You know, I mean, like if you ate chalk, No.
Let me tell you who has the immunity.
Who has the immunity?
Whoever has had a virus similar to the structure of the coronavirus and built antibodies to that virus has now a de facto immunity to the coronavirus if that virus was similar in structure. And virility is what they call it, to the coronavirus. Them people are going, it's just going to reactivate their antibodies and keep them safe. And I dare say that that's who they're looking for and chasing right now. People who have had, they already know it's got a cousin. It's got to have a family member. All things
right.
That exist on the planet have a family, has a connection, family member. So they're looking for a virus similar to corona, right? And they're finding whoever, some pocket of people who had it ran through, but they survived. And those people are donating blood and plasma and white blood cells that are getting, you know, multiplied and turned into a vaccine. Other than that, it's going to be like every virus that come on the planet. The planet is tired.
I think if your ass grew up on drink, purple Kool-Aid, oodles and noodles, and government cheese, you're immune. I'm just saying. Whatever sector of the population grew up on drink, red and purple Kool-Aid, and government cheese, you pretty much immune from the coronavirus. The coronavirus ain't got nothing on you. You ate some bugs, and you had powdered milk, powdered eggs. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, how you gonna get through all that? It looks at you and be like, let me just go on over here to the next person because that ain't gonna work. You, your life done all been messed up. You immune to just about anything. So yeah, I don't. We'll see. We'll see as the disease continues to spread. Now, there are conflicting reports on the amount of cases, the number of deaths. The amount of cases I last saw were 300. The amount of deaths I last saw were 15. Now, 45 has kicked some other numbers, but those numbers have proven to not be so accurate as was the catalyst of the huge stock runoff after his first press conference. That was, last Friday? Yeah, that was last Friday. Then they tried to do a bandage one on Saturday of last week, and that was just as bad. However, stocks did rebound briefly in the week after Biden's big push of Super Tuesday. South Carolina, which was the projection for the big win on Super Tuesday, because stocks actually rebounded on Monday, and then they took another downturn right in the middle of the week. Dude, it's horrible. Like, your 401k is hurting right now. You know, the Fed came in, did an emergency rate cut. When did they do that last? This is not good for people with big money, nor is it good for people with little money, to be honest with you. But remember something. If you are involved in the market, that includes your 401k, that includes you day traders out here, be it another thing that you do or a serious thing that you do, the market is geared for the long term, not the short. It's geared for the marathon, not the sprint. So, yeah, you may have lost 20, 40, 60, 80 grand this week, but you'll get it back. You're going to get it back. It's definitely going to come back, and it's going to come back even stronger. Why? The thing that the market hates the most is uncertainty. The first presser from POTUS and VP was not convincing at all. It wasn't convincing to me as an observer. It was horrible. It was downright fucking horrible. So that's why they came back with the second one, tried to be more polished, tried to convey a stronger message in general. The gentleman from NIH who was silenced initially was dragged onto the boat. No, there was no such thing. No one muted me. I was just doing this. Yeah, motherfucker. Whatever. So he comes out, does his thing. He's the foremost scientist in the world on infectious diseases, but he wasn't out on the podium on the first go-around. But he wasn't silent either. Yeah, player. That don't even sound right. So that was another reason for a bit of the rebound. But again, the bigger reason, in my opinion, was Biden's victory in South Carolina, because it projected what would happen on Tuesday during Super Tuesday. And if you know, you've been glued to the television like I did, like I was, Joe Biden had a hell of a lot of wins on Super Tuesday. I mean, he won states that he never even stepped foot in. He won states that folk didn't even think he would be competitive in as well. He won Massachusetts. That's Elizabeth Warren's state, home state. He won Massachusetts.
I think that's what got her. I think for real. When your own people won't vote for you, just never mind that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She just sit up here and did so much for that state. They can directly see the difference that her involvement in Massachusetts has made. And when they got ready to vote, they was like, "Nah, we'll go for this other dude." Come on, Lee.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Why can't a woman lead the United States of America? Talk to me.
She can. She can. And she will. But if it ain't the time, it ain't the time. And who determines the time? Joe Q Public. Jane Q Public. There are just as many women out here as there are men. In some circles, it is believed, it is argued constantly, there are more. So men are not holding her back. It's women that are holding her back as well, because women do not believe that she can win. Hillary found that out the hard way, and now Elizabeth Warren has found that out as well. Gabbard is gone. Klobuchar is gone. Kamala's gone. They couldn't get traction with women voters in mass. Not happening. Why? Because folk feel that a hard reset needs to happen. And we were having this conversation last night, and I'll broach this in a number of different ways about the conversation I was having last night. So we were having a conversation last night about if you get a phone, right, and your apps start acting up on the phone, what did they tell you to do? You call the help desk. You call the customer service people. What are they going to tell you to do with that phone?
They tell you to power it completely
whatever.
Down. They tell you to power
what does that do?
Down. And it resets.
What does that
do? It's supposed to reset the operating system.
Boop. Stop right there. America is looking for a hard reset, a hard factory reset. And what does a hard factory reset look like in America for the President of the United States? What does it look like? A white male.
I mean, everybody thought Obama was the hard factory reset.
No, everybody did not think that. By no stretch, shape, or form, Obama was a new chapter. He was a new chapter. And
I know plenty of white people that can say that our ability to vote for that man showed that we have hit a new plateau or a new ideology in
this
country. And so when you say new, they consider that was the reboot. Look, you waiting on a reboot that didn't happen.
I ain't waiting on nothing. Because, look at here. In this situation that we're in, and I tell folks this right and left and right. In this situation that black folk are in, we should be sitting back smiling, laughing, talking mad trash to everybody. Because we just showed the world who runs this mofo. We just showed the world who runs this mofo. You know why? Because Biden made damn near a sweep of Super Tuesday. And how did he do it? Black folk. Black folk came out. Black folk came out in higher number than they ever have come out in the primary. You know why? Because they are set dead on one thing, and that's dumping Trump. Now, I disagree with that mentality. I have said it a million and one times that it should not be our focus. Our focus should be singular, getting rid of Mitch McConnell's ass. He has to go. He is the greater threat.
He's the puppet, right?
He's the greater threat, right? He's there you go. He is the greater threat. That should be
right. Trump do not want that job. I don't even know why we got all this favor. He would rather fake his own death than do this for four more years.
Absolutely. But now he's in a situation where he got to win. He got to win Because if he doesn't, the next president is going to come in, release his damn tax return, not necessarily to the public, but release them, open up the investigation, allow it to go the routes that it could not go because he's the sitting president right now. He has to win. So that's why he's crying foul. That's why he's crying that things were rigged. That's why he's doing all this shit down. He's trying to plant seeds of dissent right now. However, he can't win. And it's not because of black folks. It's because of money. Money is now saying he can't win. Money is saying he can't win for the response that he's given right now with this coronavirus. Money saw his response to this initially, and they were like, yo, what you mean? We ain't got nothing to worry. What you mean? This is a joke. I got factories in China that are shut down. I have supply lines coming out of other countries in Asia that are shut down. I have ships full of goods that I can't move. What you mean it's a joke? This ain't no damn joke, dog. Oh, yeah, you got to fucking go. So they gave him a second chance. Like, look here, man. That wasn't right. You need to come up with something different. They gave him a second chance. He come up there again, and the same damn shit happens. Like, okay, yeah, you got to go, yo. Because you bad for business. Period. Now money sees that this guy has to go. So he about to go. Now, I was concerned before, but the tipping point for the removal of Donald Trump was that presser. It was that press conference. And again, it wasn't about black folk. It ain't going to be about black folk at all. It's about money. Money sees that he does not convey a strong enough message of leadership and command of the presidential mantra that he has to go. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He got to go. And they don't give a damn who there as long as his ass ain't there. Because right now they're killing him. And I'll tell you why. Yesterday news broke. South by Southwest got canceled. Now, look, family, if you don't know what South by Southwest is, Google it. South by Southwest is one of the largest festivals in the nation. Think that South by Southwest lasts for, like, a weekend. It's not. The shit is almost a month long. It's almost a month long. There are seminars. There are workshops. There are charity events. There are concerts. But that's at the end. Before that happens, here are the brightest and the best coming outside of Silicon Valley together to sit down and talk about what the future looks like in technology and how technology is going to meet the needs of the human experience. It is massive. It is absolutely massive. How do I know? When I lived in Texas, I heard about it for the first time. I was like, oh, let me check this shit out. And then I started digging into it. I was like, yo, this shit is like almost a month long? Yes. South by Southwest is crazy. Crazy. To cancel that event, are you kidding me right now? And then the real kicker is when Southwest announced that it was trimming back its projection for the quarter in the foreseeable future. Let me tell y'all something. Delta, United, American, talking all this shit about them trimming their routes, so on and so forth. I'm like, eh, whatever. And I said that because they are really international carriers. So Delta, United, American, they're all in and out of Asia. They're all in and out of Europe. There ain't no biggie. When Southwest cuts their projections, oh, motherfucker, we got a problem. We got a problem. Southwest ain't doing nothing but flying within the continental United States. They just moved their asses over to Hawaii. They do a little bit of the Caribbean. That's it. That's it. A little bit of South America. That's it. So you telling me, you know, your uncle and them ain't got no gas money to go around the corner? They can't go around the corner. I'm not asking them to go over to Big Mama house on the other side of town. I understand that's far. You know, they money might be tight. It might be the beginning of their month. We all know those challenges at the beginning of their month. But you telling me you can't pick me up from around the corner because you ain't got no gas money for that? Oh, that's a problem. That's a problem. Hotels are panicking. Restaurants are panicking. The cruise industry is supposed to be meeting with Pence, I believe, today. If not today, either tomorrow or Monday. This is not a game. The impact from this thing is going to be felt in real people's wallets. You're talking about people that will not be able to pick up not just an extra shift, but a shift, period. You got folk out here living off tips, living off their ability that someone is going to call out because, you know, there's a lot of young folks in the industry, and I'm young folks, they try to work the weekend. Hey, I'll cover your shift. Ain't no biggie. They won't be able to take that shift. They won't be able to get their shift. Customers aren't there to tip. This is a problem. It's not a joke. The CDC's recommendation for prevention of the coronavirus sound like your mama's telling your ass what to do when you go to school. Don't shake them dirty kids' hands. If you cough, cover your mouth. If you have some hand sanitizer, something like that near you, some Sandy wipes, wipe stuff down. That's all they're telling you right now. And look, understand something. This is not a quote-unquote killer virus. Yes, some people have died. But it's not a quote-unquote killer virus. This isn't something that's going to hit you over the head and, you know, 20, 30 people are near you and 24 of them going to die. It's not that. No. Yes, it is more like a cold. It's more like the flu. Yes, it is. But this shit's serious, dog. Now, it's hilarious to me because I went to the airport the other day. I needed to buy a ticket. And so I was like, well, shit, I'm right over here. Let me just run over here and get it. So I went to the airport the other day to buy a ticket. This young lady comes in. She's wearing a mask. All of our children are wearing masks. Really? Now, she has young children. So I'm like, hey, I can get with that. I can get with that because they're young and the young are susceptible, just like the old people are susceptible. So I can get with that. Then I can get with the fact that she's wearing it as well because if mommy down, ain't nobody going to be taken care of. I get all that. But these average Joe Schmoes walking around here with these damn masks on just to go to the grocery store, like, come on, dog. Come on, dog. There's nothing.
I'm surprised we ain't been
there. Nothing that you're really
going
to prevent with that.
Because if we doing masks now, if we doing masks now, we should have been wearing masks. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I'm talking to one of my classmates yesterday about this, and she was like, "Yo, but you know I'm a germaphobe, so I was already on that." I was like, "I got you." Cause so I told her that I was going away this week. And she was like, oh, how you getting there? You driving? I'm like, no, I'm fine. She's like, ooh. I was like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, look, when you go to a vending machine, do you wipe a vending machine off? Do you make people touch that vending machine? When you're at work and you need to warm up your food, do you wipe off the handle of the microwave? When you need water from a water fountain, do you wipe off the water fountain? Some people do. Most people don't. Seriously. Like, if you had to wipe off every surface, or wipe off everything that you touch in the entirety of a day, your day would be so consumed with just wiping shit down. It's just so consumed. Now, again, some people do. They have that type of neurosis. Most people don't.
All I can hear,
germaphobe.
All I hear in the background of my thoughts is the song "Wipe Me Down." Okay, wipe me down.
Oh, I know. You are foolish. But you know, look.
I didn't see the video. You got to see him. you walk, you wipe, you walk, you wipe, wipe me down, wipe me down.
Mm-mm.
But once he wipes, it's clean for another at least 5 minutes. And so if somebody else wipes it down, and then somebody else wipes it down, we could probably get rid of quite a few. It looks ridiculous, but if we do it, we might help each other.
I guess. But, you know, all germs aren't bad. This is one of the reasons that we're having such a negative impact from, or negated impact, I should say, from penicillin and antibiotics. That's one of the reasons. First off, they've been overprescribed. Okay, that's number one. Number two is we're not getting germs, and because everyone wants to wipe everything down. Like, some germs are good. You need some germs in order to function properly, believe it or not. You know what I'm saying? Because the body takes it in. Rashi, as you said, it creates antibodies, fights the stuff off, and, you know, you keep it pressing. You don't even know. You don't even know. But if everything's clean and you touch something that just so happened to not be cleaned, now this little itty-bitty thing that would have never bothered you ever is attacking you like all giddy-up, because every place you go, almost every time you do anything, it's a totally clean and germ-free environment. Man, please. We are dirty, nasty, and filthy. Look, y'all, we're still animals. We're still animals. We have more cognitive thought. We have the ability to think on various levels, and we have a thumb. Yo, pretty much, yeah, that's it. Pretty much, that's it. Those are the things that separate us. Would you disagree with that, Rashi?
I don't know. It's a lot that separates us, bro. Okay, give me one more piece of evidence. Give me one more. Bring me over to your side.
Look, animals mourn, so it's not like they don't feel. Animals are protective of their young. We do the same thing. They were willing to sacrifice themselves for their children. We do the same thing. Again, the things that separate us are our thumbs, our ability to think at a higher level. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Our mating behavior.
Not a whole lot more.
Our ability to use tools. Our ability to stop hurting each other.
Our ability to what?
Not hurt each other. Because most animals can't stop hurting each other. And while it would look like we have lost the ability to stop too, honestly, we use a lot more self-control than any other animal on the planet.
Did you see about the five people that got shot in the barbershop in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, back in the day, that would have
been mother.
We wouldn't even be talking about that 300 years ago.
The mother in Idaho, whose bail just got reduced to $1 million in connection with the disappearance of her two children. The stepmother in Colorado, who was arrested in the case of her missing son. But we are able to not hurt. Okay, I got you. Hey, I respect your opinion. I disagree. I respect your opinion. We are the same. There is very little that separates us. Very little. This is why some of us revert to that behavior. Some of us, not the majority of us, some of us, some of the time. And I love having conversation with people, and their defense is, well, sometimes we can't base an argument off of this sometimes. Because the sometimes are always going to be the sometimes. we have to get to thinking and relating ourselves to the norm, right? Had that conversation last night about religion. Girl, I think you're going to love this one. And my man said something. He whispered in my ear. He said, bro, what do you think about religion being used as a dependency tool versus an independent source, resource, I should say. I said, yo, I like that thought. That's gangster. You know, so he's like, yeah, because I said to my mom all the time, like, you're running back and forth to church every week, 3-4 times a week. Are you not now dependent on getting that rejuvenation, or is that rejuvenation leading you to independence? And she, you know, he's like, oh, she had to pause and think about it, and she never answered the question, but I think I made my point. You know what I'm saying?
But his idea is rooted in the philosophy that you're supposed to get so close to God that you don't need to go to church no more. Or the church is supposed to fulfill you in a way over time that you need less and less of it. And then one day,
correct.
You can, that's not, it's not in the right paradigm. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why not? I'll play devil's advocate. Why not? Because my beef was, if you are 50, 60-something years old, why are you still going to Bible study? What the fuck are you studying? If you've been in the church your entire life, it's only but so many pages in the Bible. If you've been going to Bible study faithfully since you were old enough to read and or comprehend, so let's just say at 12 you started Bible study. You are now 50 years old. You got 38 years of Bible study. What the fuck are you learning? What are you learning? What new thing did you learn? Now, sister's response to that was, well, you know, sometimes it takes people time to get it. So you may hear a thing, but it might not come to you until you've heard it 6, 7, 8, 20 times. I got you.
That's right.
I got you. I understand that. But just because you now understand it doesn't mean that you learned it, because you learned the lesson forever ago. You're just understanding the lesson now. So my question isn't about your degree of understanding. My question is the degree of you learning. So if you got 38 years learning the same shit, what are you continuing to learn? What are you continuing to learn? Rashi, so
I only agree with your philosophy because it's not an evolving ideology. Whatever there is to the religion, it's 2,000 years old, and it has not really for real shifted in that time. So it's not like, oh, other than this new mandate of them saying please don't rape little boys, ain't really much shifted in Christianity as a whole. Catholicism or Protestantism, that split, that was the last major shift in the religion, the Catholics and the Protestants shifted. And so, I mean, it ain't really much to do left up in there, except unless you're going to put them books back up in there that y'all pushed out. And so what could you learn? Yeah. So I guess you're right. I mean, after a little while, if it's not evolving like chemistry or even planetary science, if it's not evolving, then what's the point? And over three, four, five decades of studying
I equate it to formal education, right? So you go to school to be a welder, right? In 1970, if the machinery hasn't changed, if the supplies haven't changed, why your ass still in school in 2020? What the fuck are you learning? It's the same shit you did and learned in 1970. I mean, I don't get it. What you doing, bro? What you doing, sis? You know, but you got to be here. You can't miss it. You got to be here. So it's like, dog, why am I committing myself to something that's just cyclic? And it's really a hamster wheel. I ain't going nowhere, it ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere, it ain't going nowhere, but I gotta be there. Which was his point. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, now you're addicted. Now you are an addict. You are an addict. Because if you've got to be there, no matter what, that's an addiction. It's an addiction. I gotta have my. I gotta get my praise on. You can't get your praise on when you wake up in the morning? When you speak to your higher power, whomever he or she may be, I still believe that God is a black woman, but that's a good story for another time. You can't do it at that point.
I've had that conversation. Have you ever had that one? What do you think? If God could take a form, what does it look like? And you would be surprised how many people think God looked like the Quaker Oats man.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised right now. Look, my man
they
said,
think, you know, when they
said,
show us images of a wizard or Father Time or something like that, a thin, older, white, gray, white man with a beard or something like that, they think that's God.
Hmm. Yeah. Man said he doesn't understand. Go ahead.
Once you take over somebody's mental imagery of their God, like, it's curtains from then on. There's nothing else to be done. They'll do the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you, because they say it's not them, it's whatever that is. And the most powerful messages I've seen out there is God as the mirror. You know what I'm saying? The mirror, look in the mirror, that's God.
Mm-hmm.
Can be seen and look at itself as godly.
My man said he doesn't understand why white supremacists or white races are quick to quote the Bible ever, because ain't nobody in the Bible white. Everybody in the Bible is dark. And if Jesus were to come back, he would wonder who's the acrobat on the cross. I said, no, you stupid.
Look, I'm like, I know Middle Eastern women, right? And they would never let their sons or husbands be that damn thin. You know what I'm saying? Middle Eastern women feed their children to death. You ever seen a Persian man? His stomach looked like a gourd. I thought it was quite mean to do that Jewish lady's son like that. If she did exist, a Jewish lady will keep cooking to her son roll in the street like a ball. Why y'all put her son up there looking like he been doing Pilates since birth? So thin, like she didn't care for her.
He on the keto diet.
She was ready to carry the cross for her son, is what they said in the story. So what would she not feed this dude? Wait a minute, let me tell you my favorite religious joke, though. He said he'll believe in Christianity when they show me one piece of furniture that Jesus built. Or some house. They said he was a carpenter, right?
Carpenter, right. He was a carpenter.
Well, what's up, me name? It's stuff. The pyramids is more than 20. The pyramid. There are stuff in the pyramids that's been together longer than the religion of Christianity. So we still can see it. So where's a piece of furniture y'all do made, bro?
But that goes back to the old argument of, you know, you can find Africans to substantiate African history, but you have yet to find any person from biblical times to substantiate the Bible. How is that? When this is supposed to be a text that was worldwide, and everybody's supposed to know about these stories. It kind of reminds me of Trump. Everybody knows where everybody is, what everyone did, and everybody knows. Okay? Where's the proof? Everybody knows. We don't need to know the proof. We don't need to see it. Everybody knows. Well, but yeah, but you ask, well, it's different because we all know what happened. Everyone was there. They saw it. They talked about it. They wrote it down so that we wouldn't have to question it later. So you just want me to that say, hey, everybody knows. And it's the same thing. You're just supposed to trust and not ask a question. So that came up, too, in conversation. It's like the point of atheists being some of the nicest people or some of the most grounded people, and it came around to me. It's like, yo, why you think that? And I said, well, I think they're some of the most, not necessarily nice, but let me back off of that. Some of the wisest people, I should say. Let me scratch that. Some of the wisest people. I said, I think they're some of the wisest people because they've had to do research to substantiate their argument. So you can come to them with Bible chapter and verse. They have to then dig into your Bible chapter and verse, see whatever substantiating commentary or evidence there is to support your argument and or to disprove your argument. So while you're simply there sitting, listening, and not learning anything new, but listening to the same shit over and over again, these cats are out here digging through, trying to figure out why such is being said, why, how could this either be proven or disproven, and digging down for that proof. You're just accepting it based off blind faith. They're looking to figure out if there's actually other information around it. And I talk about that because, you know, the Great Flood, as described in the Bible, allegedly happened while the Chinese were going through one of their greatest dynasties. Like, one couldn't happen if the other was happening. If the whole world was flooded, how these jokers over here sitting going through one of their greatest dynasties? Like, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. But you're going to believe this out of blind faith, but you would never dig into that and cross-reference that. And I apologize, I can't name the dynasty right off the top of my head. I'll look for that, though, and I'll come back to it, without a doubt. But, yeah, they were happening at the same time. How is that even possible? All these people over here living their best life, but everybody over here, everyone else over here is supposed to be drowning. Yeah. Noah's Ark was never found. How? This ship was supposed to be huge, huge. Never found? Not near piece of it ever found. Okay. Okay. No, the Ark itself, Raiders of the Lost Ark. That whole Holy
the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, right?
Right. Really? The Holy Grail, really? None of this? No one's ever found anything. Anything. Okay.
Not a nail, nobody went back in the hole and got his clothes from when they got him. Did nobody?
I was just about to say that.
Speaking
of Catholicism, supposedly the veil that covered his body is the cloth that covers his body or whatever.
The shroud of Turin is what it's called.
Right, right. Supposedly they have that. Never been tested. Just found a fucking cloth somewhere, put it in the goddamn in glass, like, there it is. Just believe. You know how much money these jokers are making off of this theory? And that's why no one will ever push against it. Because it's way too much damn money being made. You shut that shit down, folks will go crazy.
I believe we
economies will crumble.
We will return to the age of science, and it will not mean our... They say every time you hand the world over to the scientists, we blow something up. The one thing that Christians really don't do is they don't use a lot of... They have select people for their weaponry. They don't you know, just unleash like scientists will just to see what it do or if it will do. Scientists will push the button to see what happens when the button gets pushed.
Right.
But Christians,
right.
Well, religious people will try their best to consider not pushing the button so that people can survive and live. So that's the argument.
No.
Don't give it over. Don't give it over to the scientists because they will push the button. They'll push the world. They'll do a Hiroshima. They'll do a Nagasaki. You know.
I want to check you. They're not concerned about people living or dying. They worried about their asses dying, and they talk all this shit about how wonderful it's going to be when they go home to the hereafter, but they scared like a motherfucker to actually go over to the hereafter because they don't know what the hell is on the other side. And that's what they're in fear of, because now they believe this bullshit about a heaven and a hell, which is just straight up bullshit. Hell is right here on earth that we're going through each and every day. Hell is paying bills and deciding on what bill to pay and or how much food you can have for the rest of the month. Hell is when you see your children and you know that your children are lacking in resources because of your zip code. Hell is when you make a change in your zip code to put your children in a better school, and then the government comes in and says, no, that's wrong, we're going to lock you up and put you in jail. Hell is when your loved one, young, old, or indifferent, is born or comes into contact with an incurable disease that's going to kill them, because a lot of folks got incurable diseases that ain't going to kill them. But come in contact with an incurable disease that's going to kill them, and that time that we believe in our heads we're supposed to have with them is robbed away. Hell is when you go out here and you bust your ass day in and day out to make an honest living, yet you find later on that the person sitting next to you, the person upstairs from you, the person that got hired after you, the person that you trained, it came in making three times the amount of money you made. But you trained this motherfucker. You've been loyal to this company forever. You've done, that's hell. That's hell. That's hell. This shit here, this whole, well, you know, there's a devil. Devil here. Devil is time. Time for you to sit back, get your teeth kicked in, your nuts cut off, or whatever, just trying to survive out here in these streets. That's the devil. But, yeah, I'm sorry, Raj. I these folk, man, look, I ain't got no time for that shit, man.
I'll tell you what, the closest I'm going to get to a pastor said to me, heaven is when you are doing exactly what you're supposed to do with the time you have, space time you have here on earth. And hell is everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else. There's your mission. There's your intrinsic life mission as a living being. And then there's all that other shit you put in. And there's all that other shit you put in the way. And from whatever. It can be anything. But if it's not your mission, then you wasting time. You wasting space time. And it take a lot to keep matter. People don't understand how much energy it takes to keep matter together, to keep those atoms and quarks and electrons related to each other so it continues to be itself. And you got the power and energy within you to keep your atomic structure intact in this universe. And a lot of stuff don't have that. A lot of stuff can't do that. So you trying to tell me you're going to waste your time in existence when you didn't got the energy within you to keep your atomic structure intact. And you sit up here talking about, I can't do it because what? Don't nobody else have to tell you. No, you don't need no fucking sky pie in the sky dude watching over you. The fact that you have a line in your body where you are and the rest of the universe isn't. You have your own lines of self-existence. You have like an outline for yourself and then volume on the inside. So you have the same power as all the other living things out there that get to decide what to do. Why are we wasting time, Lee? Why are we wasting time?
I said something about wasting time like a week ago. You went berserk. We're not wasting time. We are learning from the time that we have with the people. To quote your ass about a week or so ago. We're not wasting time.
You were talking about wasting time with that human. I'm talking about wasting our own personal time. Our own, your time. You're not their time. You're wasting your time.
It was a good comeback though. I just loved it because you really
you waited on it. How long did you have that in the trigger? How did you have that? It was in the trigger for a while.
I don't play. My mind is a trap. Shit, it comes in. I remember it and I regurgitate when necessary. So, did you see the video of the young man that was assaulted by the police officers in Brooklyn? He was coming out of a park with a young lady, and a plainclothes police officer stopped him. And he just wouldn't let the young man go. And the young man was like, yo, what happened? Like, what's going on? What happened? Did I do something wrong? Cop never said anything, but he waited for other cops to come, and they beat the shit out of this little boy. I mean, they beat the shit out of this little boy, but God only knows what. Now, as my man said this morning, because as I said, it was very late when I got in, he says, you know, the police department is going to come out with, it was resisting arrest. But the young man from the video was never told that he was under arrest. The young man from the video was never told if he was being detained. And he asked, he said, did I do something wrong? The young lady from outside the shop who was recording said, ask him if you're being detained. I think he asked him that as well. And he never got an answer. He never got an answer about being arrested. He never got an answer about being detained. He got his ass whipped. And the sad part is and was, he's crying out for help against people who were supposed to be there to protect him. They didn't do an investigation. They didn't ask him a question. These cops just ran over and started whipping this little boy's ass. They slammed him to the ground. Stop resisting. What the fuck do you think I'm supposed to do? What do you think I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to stand here and let y'all whip my ass for nothing? That's illegal. That you are preventing my civil liberties. What are you talking about? Now, this is another case where I hope the young man and his family do not just take the money and run. I want them to prosecute these motherfuckers, get a conviction, if need be, take less money on the back end, but still get your money. I'm not saying don't get your damn money. I ain't crazy. But somebody gotta pay. We can't keep taking this hush money. Because most of the time, when shit like this happens, the department goes to settle, and a part of the settlement is you will drop any litigation against the officer and the police department. Any liability. No, we ain't doing that. Your ass is going to jail. You gonna pay me on the back end no matter what, because I'll put in the suit that I want punitive damages. Yeah, it's gonna be less money on the back end, but I'm still gonna get a check, and y'all ass need to go to jail. This shit is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Kid did not look to be totally disrespectful, out of pocket. I mean, because he didn't, you know, fuck you and I ain't doing shit. He didn't do that. He kept asking, he said, sir, why are you holding on to me? What is going on? I just want to know what went wrong. What did I do that was wrong? Cop never answered him. Bananas. Did you see this?
I have not seen any footage like that. In fact, my focus was mostly on what I could get out of why Elizabeth Warren had dropped out. That's most of my internet research in the last day or two, trying to figure out if they had came up with something or what. But now, like you said, when I found out that Massachusetts had went to somebody else, I figured, yeah, if I was her, I'd probably get pissed off enough to be done with it too.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to watch them cop atrocities because it's a threefold. It's when they hurt you, then they drag you through court, and then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodney King showed me that. Rodney King showed me that even if something does happen, right, and you get your money.
Mm-hmm.
It rushes you to your demise because you know for the dude who got paid for getting his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
It's a triple edged sword. And so what?
Mm.
What's gonna happen with the little boy? Do he get his money? And if he do, is it worth his whatever's happening to his body? And then does it stop them from doing it again? Is there going to be legislation about what cops can do? They're not going to rein the cops in because they're going to put some money in their hand. They're raining down military-grade weaponry and uniforms. So what's to stop it, Lee? What's to stop a cop?
I want to say to you, and I'm sorry, but I got to read this shit. And I'm going to read this from top to bottom because it's important. So, you know, we all have spin. It's human nature. When we are attacked or someone is attacked that we love or anything of that nature, we try to protect them. We try to protect ourselves. Okay. So Blue Lives Matter is following up on this story. So, this is the article on Blue Lives Matter by Sandy Malone. Interesting. I might reach out to her. The New York Police Department is investigating the circumstances of an arrest behind a video, viral video filmed in Canarsie on Wednesday. Sergeant Jessica McRoy told Blue Lives Matter in an email that the incident occurred at about 7 p.m. on March the 4th as anti-crime officers from the 69th Precinct were patrolling the 100% playground located on Glenwood Road between East 100th Street and East 101st Street in Brooklyn. Sergeant McRoy said that officers saw two men smoking a lit marijuana cigarette inside the park and approached them. Now, if memory serves me correctly, isn't marijuana legal in New York? But anyhow, the suspects fled and the officers pursued them. WABC reported. Police caught up with the men eventually. Sergeant McRoy said officers issued a summons to one of the men and arrested the other. The arrest was captured on a bystander's cell phone, and the video quickly went viral. The video showed a plainclothes officer detaining a man in Champion sweatpants, later identified as 20-year-old Fitzroy Yale, WPXI reported. Although the suspect had not been put in handcuffs, the officer appeared to be trying to detain him up against the fence while he waited for backup. The video showed Gail argued with the officer the entire time. "Yo, I didn't commit any crimes," he insisted. "Stop moving," the officer said in the video. "Yo, bro, stay still," the woman filming the interaction chipped in. The suspect continued trying to move away from the officer, and the officer eventually took his taser out of its holster, although he never pointed it at Gail, the video showed. "What did I do? What did I do?" the suspect asked over and on over again. "I did not do anything. He saw me in the park and he started following me," Gail told the woman who was filming in what happened. In what appeared to be an effort to build support. The video showed Gail argued with the officer and got close up in his face. "Will you answer my question? Look at me in my eyes. I'm talking to you," he told the officer in the video. The video showed the officer remained calm and continued to hold the man in place with one hand. "Here's my issue. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to pause right there. Here's my issue. He never told him that he was detained. You got to tell me something. I'm not arguing with you, asking you a question. How is asking you a question argumentative? I'll continue. Tell me, what crime did I commit? Tell me," Gail demanded as the video showed. He became more agitated. The officer kept the taser in his hand, but it was pointed at the ground. "Stop moving," the officer ordered the man for a second time. "Are you about to shoot me with the taser?" Gail asked. "Because I don't have a weapon on me. What crime did I commit?" That was when backup arrived, and the video showed about a half dozen officers ran over to assist the officer with the non-compliant suspect. An officer went to take the suspect into custody, and he immediately began resisting arrest, the video showed. The video showed the suspect screaming and fighting as more officers joined the melee to help get him into custody. Six officers were struggling to get Gail prone on the pavement when the video ended. Gail was charged with resisting arrest, second-degree obstructing governmental administration, and second-degree unlawful possession of marijuana. New York PD Detective Denise Morney told Blue Lives Matter. The Crisis Action Center called the incident a case of police brutality and organized a protest in front of the 69th precinct on Thursday afternoon, WPIX reported. The organization was called for Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez to investigate the incident. "Every officer needs to be held accountable," Crisis Action Center Director Reverend Kevin McCall told WPIX. Sergeant McRoy told Blue Lives Matter the NYPD was conducting an internal review of the incident. Okay. I got to send you this. I'm going to post this. Again, was the young man at fault? Was the victim at fault for his ass being kicked? That's the question. That's really the question. Was the young man at fault for his ass being kicked? No. Was it? If he was, it's like, he deserves to get his ass kicked. You know, look, I'm a father. My kids do something wrong, I'm the first motherfucker like, yeah, you deserve that shit. You deserve that shit. If they didn't, nah, son. This, no, son. Again, you have half a dozen cops running up on you, just whipping your ass. This cat grabbed him and tried to trip him and throw him to the ground. Just like that. I didn't say anything. There were no words. There was no preliminary investigation. Hey, it's one kid, 20 years old, one kid against seven New York police. Where was he going? Where was he going? Yo, let him go. Let's talk to him real quick. Let's find out what's going on. Hey, kid, what happened, man? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Let me talk to you, to the officer. Yo, what you see? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right. Based off what you said, based off what he said, all right, I'm going to let him know, inform him he's being detained. We'll put them in cuffs and we'll take them out. We'll sort it out. No. They just ran over to this kid and whipped his ass. Totally whipped his ass. Totally whipped his ass. But he deserved that. Boy, I tell you, man.
So much work to be done. It's a lot of work. And they say that the money that they give to the police department, they claim is for sensitivity training. And so there's this, you know, if you're a psychologist now, you can go into this new vein of psychology called operational or industrial psychology, where you go into people's, you're part of the human resources diversity package, and you make sure that they don't, for real, come back with a AK-47 and shoot the place up when the company gets through railroading them, like companies do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's some of what motivated last week's killing. A dude had worked there for such and such and such an amount of years, and they had decided to downsize, and they was like, all right then, boy. And he was like, wait a minute now. I'm not finna get hired nowhere. I've been here my whole life.
Mm.
And so he shot it up.
This shit is crazy, man. I mean, it is a hard time for me as I get older, and I come more into the understanding of the amount of hatred in this country for people that look like me. It really is. It is disheartening. It is mind-blowing and this is why Black history needs to be taught constantly. It's mind-blowing because of the amount of sacrifice that people like me put into the making of this country. It would not be it without us, period. It would not be it without us. There's no great nation that has ever came into be without immigrant labor. In this case, it was forced labor. Black folks didn't come to this country en masse willingly. Black folks came to this country en masse. And I keep stressing that because there were black people here before the slave ships ever got here. But en masse, black people did not come to this country under their own free will. They came to this country in shackles and chains. That's how the majority of black folks got to this country. And the sacrifice of them making something out of nothing, creating huge sprawls of crop and farms and irrigation and all these things to make those crops and farms work, to put money, generational money, pockets of those who enslaved them, who then turned around, started other businesses with that money, who ensured that generationally their families would be well off as long as they stayed close, well off for, you know, forever to come. Yet there's no appreciation except for the month of February. And even that is a short-lived thing. You know, because right after that, there's more damn talk about Women's History Month, which we're in right now, than there was about Black History Month. How that work?
And then we
How
are into women. Women's, now this is Women's History Month, you know.
Right.
And we don't even, people
how,
don't
how
even know
black
that
women?
That's what the month is.
How many black women, though, are trumpeted up as historical figures during Women's History Month? Seriously, how many? I mean, it would be a logical transition. I mean, it would be a wonderful transition. You have Black History Month in February. You start off Women History Month with notable figures of black women in the country. That would be fucking awesome. Don't happen, though. Don't happen. Yeah, man, it's painful. It really is. It's painful. It's painful to live through this, see this, and it's painful to think that nothing has changed. That's the most painful part. Nothing has changed. This is the same shit that my father's father had to deal with. The same shit. I did not want to pass this shit on to my children. Did not want to pass this shit on to my children. Alabama executed a man just the other day whom everybody knows did not commit the murder that he was charged and convicted for. The murderer actually, he never pulled the trigger, I'm sorry. The murderer actually copped to the actual crime, but this man was still executed. Why? Why? These are, you know, Rashi, to your point, sometimes we have to behave like children. Sometimes we just have to ask the question of why. Because babies are going to get it out of you. Babies ain't going to let you go. Why? Why do you do that? Why? Okay, but why? So, sometimes that's exactly what we need. Going back to your point about scientists. Scientists are people that ask why. They don't just take it for face value. They want to know why. How? What's going to happen if I? What would happen if I don't? Because I know pretty much what's going to happen if I don't. But if I do this thing, what's going to happen? How do I control that? How do I fix that? How do I improve that? An improvement isn't always a fix. How do I do better at that? So, these, again, you know, I'm almost 50, man, and I really had hoped for better at this age. You know, 2020, that was huge. That was huge in the mind and my belief of most human beings. I think most human beings believe that we would be at a point in our social life, in our society, where, number one, we wouldn't be driving cars, we'd have flying cars. But we would have gotten beyond the issue of race. And this is where I'll go back to my Obama dissent. He failed black people. He failed black people. He should have pulled to Eisenhower his last day, called a press conference, made a formal apology for slavery, and let Trump ass deal with it. Obama out. I said what I said. It's done. Ain't a damn thing you can do about it. Now let the next president deal with it and move the fucking needle. But he didn't. He failed us. Huge opportunity. He pissed it away. But that is our fault, too, because we made very little demand.
Right.
Going back
we did
to the
not
beginning of the show.
Feet. We were so scared.
Right, going back
we
to
was,
the...
they had us so scared that they was going to kill him. Most of us was just like this. And it wasn't until he got out the chair that we exhaled again. And some of us are still waiting on an accident to befall their family. You know what I'm saying? It's just mm-hmm. a very weird feeling to try to put hope into a person. It's very dangerous.
But going back to the beginning of the show, when I said black folks should be rejoicing right now because we came out, we showed out, and we moved the needle for Joe Biden, this is the time for us to make a demand. You want our vote? You want to win the presidency? This is what we need. I don't need it sort of kinda. I don't need it in 3 years. This is what I need. I need you to formalize this now. I need you to make it a part of your platform now. I need you to follow through on it immediately, because just like we ushered your ass in, we could sit home and usher your ass out. Trump wants to stay in, same conversation. You want to stay in, this is what we need now. Not later, but now.
And this will crack me up about, not crack me up, but it makes me interested about Hispanics, because they also showed up for Biden. Look, Joe Biden was a part of the Obama administration, right? And they put more people out than Trump and Bush combined. Biden, Obama presidency got them Hispanic people out of here. Deported the hell out of silently. But they still voting for the dude who sent their family member back across the wall. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. What are they doing? Why is it so easy to hide information?
Because folk will vote against their interests constantly because of their other interests. So, again, you know, these Republicans will vote Republican, not understanding that Republicans don't give a shit about them. Democrats will vote Democratic, not understanding that Democrats don't give a shit about them. So, you're Republican, you voted Republican, you got a tax cut, but it wasn't for you. If you're on the lower end of the bracket, but you cared about taxes. You wanted to lower taxes. Well, guess what? A good salesman comes and says, I lower taxes. Yeah, motherfucker, but it wasn't for me. But I lower taxes. Other side, you're a Democrat. Pro-life, your choice, your thing. Yeah, I fought for pro-life, and I got something. Yeah, but in that legislation, the Republicans put in support where, yeah, you get the pro-life thingy, but our food stamp benefit get cut. It takes longer for people to retire. Securities with respect in regards to unions are now challenged or threatened because that was a part of that legislation that you wanted to get through for your base, and they said, okay, we'll give it to you, but you got to give us something in return. Republicans don't compromise like that. Republicans are lockstep. Democrats are not. This is why you see a fractured party right now. This is why I said, I don't know if you read my op or not, but I wrote an op about the future of presidential campaigns, in my opinion. In my opinion, we will have a true independent party moving forward. Bernie will be the standard bearer for this initially. Elizabeth Warren will come in and be second in command. Bernie will fade to black. Elizabeth Warren will step up. She'll be able to run her campaign with a solid footing and a solid base next go around. If not the next go around, maybe the time after that. But it's coming. I would say in the next 4 to 6 years, it's coming. And it's coming for real, for real. Because this is the second time that Bernie and his supporters are going to feel like they got burnt by the DNC. However, in my piece, either that piece or the piece that I wrote the week before, I said, whomever the people choose, let that be the choice. I warned the DNC about that. The DNC, this go-around, for the most part, have stayed out of this. This is truly a people's wave. This coalition that Joe Biden has built and is building is truly about the people. What the people want and how the people feel. The finger, not so much this go around, of the DNC is not on the scale tipping it one way or the other. And that's the thing that's really pissing Bernie and his people off. But Bernie has a problem of relatability. Bernie cannot want the Democratic nomination, but at every turn, bitch, whine, and complain about the Democratic Party. You can't be the leader of a party or want to be the leader of the party or the face of the party. But every time something doesn't go your way, you want to point the finger and say, these motherfuckers are stabbing me in the back. Like, that don't work. You are the team lead. Sometimes you got to take one for the team, shut the fuck up, or you fall back, get in everybody's asses on the team behind closed doors, and then come back out with a more solid message of oneness. And that's just not happening because that's not his personality. You know, but that's hurting him. That's very much hurting him. The other thing that's hurting Bernie is he banked on a lot of young folks coming out to vote for him. They're not. Young folks are not running to the polls to vote for Bernie Sanders. They're not. I think the boy, what was the Asian boy name? Andrew Chow? I think he had more support from younger folks than Bernie had.
I'm lying.
To be honest with you.
So, you know, I always tell people how fickle the American voter is. All it takes is a weird name. Chow, I don't think America's ready for Chow. And neither was they ready for Mr. Booty Cheeks or President Huckabee. You know what I'm saying? They just, it's like, it's a weird, that's why I was like, Obama, y'all down with Obama? Okay, all right, well, let's see what, that's what I'm saying. They already feel like the reset button been hit. We in this new era. We in a post-Obama era. Even if we hiccuped with a Trump, we ready to move forward with a progressive, liberal, you know, technologically savvy, etiquette approved, budget conscious, scandal proof. They ready for all that out of a human. And I don't.
They want
another
Obama.
And they want your name not to be, you know, too different.
Right. They want another Obama, but they don't want a black Obama. They want a white Obama. As I said earlier, the American people are looking for a factory reset. And what that looks like is a. All right. What that looks like is a white male in office. That's the factory reset. This experiment with Trump has failed. People know this. They're sitting back saying, what the fuck was I thinking? What the fuck was I doing? I tried something different. I am not doing that shit again. I'm going to vote this time. Not along, you know, because the independents, I'm not telling you nothing that you haven't heard already, folks. The independents, the white suburban women, voted heavily for Trump. They wanted something different. They wanted something new. They got it. They ain't liking the taste of it. That was a bad choice. You know, it's like the commercial about the gas station sushi. When the clerk is like, you're going to eat that? The guy's like, yeah. Okay. It's the same difference. You know, they went in. They didn't like the other choice. Hillary has her baggage. Everybody knows that. She didn't get it. They went for the guy, thinking that he could. And look, let's be honest. Here was the thought. He could only be but so bad. Right? Because everything was rolling. Everything, the economy was humming, jobs were popping up right and left, left and right. I mean, everything was wrong. Like, how bad does this dude fuck it up? Until he came in and fucked it up. So now, his ass got to go. That's it. And that factory reset.
That only works
is getting
if
back
people are
to
willing to admit he fucked it up. Everybody is always willing to blame the president before them. It's like, you think it was cool until what's-a-call-it did what he did. Everybody's blaming all the way back to George Washington. You understand? The buck get passed all the way to GW, okay? And so I'm like, okay, fine. What Claude Anderson and a couple of other economists like Sandy Darity and there's another name. She's a female economist. Please, I'm sorry. I'll come back with that later. They're saying they're going to have another second Congress we're going to have to redo the American Constitution so that we truly separate ourselves from church and state, or properly marry the regulation of state as the government's job. Regulation. Somebody got to regulate, and somebody got to regulate even the church. So I don't understand why we're not redoing that. For one, I know the church is making a ridiculous amount of money, and they're not doing what they said they were going to do with it. They are not redoing the fundamental grassroots work.
But they can't. We talked about this. They can't, because they bought into the FBI, the faith-based initiative, which the Bush boy pushed through, which says, in no uncertain terms, you are to sit your ass on the curb and stay out of anything and everything political. Because remember, it was black tradesmen, your iron workers, your plumbers, your carpenters, so on and so forth, whom, for the most part, funded MLK and Elijah Muhammad. Well, not Elijah Muhammad, sorry. Malcolm X. More exclusively, MLK. Also, some of that money was broke off and went to Malcolm and the Nation. Then the other safe haven for them during the 60s was the black church. Obviously, again, not Malcolm X, but definitely MLK. So how do you destroy the black power base? You destroy the family. You destroy good-paying jobs that don't require folks to have formal education. This is why a lot of high schools no longer offer trades. But what they didn't plan on is that enough people, white folks, would not want to get involved in the trades of their fathers or mothers. So now there's a huge shortage of skilled labor. That's why trade schools are popping up right and left, by the way. This is why the huge push is on now to get children back into schools that offer trade. But in addition to that, though, when you give them formal education, that doesn't mean that whatever they are degreed in is applicable to their community, right? So here you are, Rashi, just taking you for an example. You are a biochemist. How the hell
actually,
is that going to make you money?
Right.
So you are a biochemist. How the hell are you going to make money as a biochemist in your hood legally?
Legal.
You know, it's not like you can do biochemistry just at the crib. You know what I'm saying? I'm a startup. I'm going to start making drugs right here at the crib, legally. And
the only way to use your biochemistry degree is legally agriculturally in your community. You can start a food haven where you use, you know, where you at least you know biochemically what's in everything, and you cannot use it unless you have authorization from the community and things like that. Maybe that way. Other than that, cooking up some fire dope is the only way I know to use a biochem.
Right.
Or you could start trying to make herbal remedies and whatnot that you could pass along in your community, like Vicks Vapor Rub made from, or aloe vera salves and shit like that. But that's the only thing I could think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, that limits your earning potential. Right? Because you got to go through somebody else in order to get that work. You can't just do that yourself at the crib. Most people can't just do that themselves at the crib. You know, so now I am what these kids going to school for? Well, you can do that. You can do IT stuff at home, and this is why I'm pushing Cat to IT, because you can do that shit from home, and like everyone's connected in some form or fashion for the most part to the internet nowadays. So that's what shit you can do from home. You know, and I'm big on pushing people to that. But and there could be some bartering done there. If you got some weed, maybe I can do something. You know, just all kinds of stuff in that aspect. But there are plenty other things that people get degreed in that you can't use that shit at home. You can't just pick up and it's like, oh, I'm going to do this at the crib. No, it don't work.
You sound like my uncle.
So you spent all this
like
money.
My uncle.
So you
Lee.
No, so you spent
my
all
uncle
this
told my
money.
Cousin.
Let me finish.
He said, Look, wait. You have to understand.
Okay.
Everything is usable.
Go ahead.
It's all usable. Look, my cousin tried to get a degree in ancient Chinese philosophy. My
mm-hmm.
uncle said no. My uncle said no. But if he would have let him do it, it could have been his way into doing Chinese, Japanese, American business relations. Because in the doing so, you have
mm-hmm.
to learn Japanese in order to do it. And being able to negotiate and barter with Japanese people, even in a historical sense, it'll get you to being an ambassador. There was a way for
mm-hmm.
him to do it, but my uncle was like, you can't use this in this community. So, no, you got to get a computer degree so you can work here, around in Kansas City, around right here. And so it's limiting to make somebody put parameters on what they learn and can do for them.
Okay, but again, okay, your point, and to your credit, yes, he could have been an ambassador. But that is not communal. So someone would still have to green light him or her to become an ambassador. That's not something that he or she could do on their own. The wealth that moved the motor, the engine that powered the civil rights movement, was money created by folks who made money from other folks in their community. There was nobody that could tell them no. You need a plumber. You become a plumber. You can be a plumber in your own neighborhood and never have to leave your neighborhood in order to make money and be successful and sustain your family. No one has to green light you to become a plumber. No one has to give you the okay, this is what we're going to pay you. No, everybody's shit breaks at some point. Everybody needs a damn plumber, be it residential or commercial. So, okay, maybe the houses don't have a plumbing problem right now, but every business is going to have a plumbing problem, from the hairdresser to the funeral parlor to the insurance agent to the schoolhouse, whatever. Every business is going to have a plumbing problem. You're an electrician. Same thing. But these are hands-on trades. These are hand trades. When all you have is book knowledge, someone can block that blessing from you forever. That doesn't mean it will always happen, but the potential of such is very high, because someone has to bless you with that opportunity. That's why the black church is so silent.
You have to have a, in my opinion, you need a global degree with a communal hustle. You have to be able to go out of
Understood.
Your realm. It's just not real. It's too much of the have a global white folk degree and have a hustle that'll keep your community or keep your family most definitely afloat. And then that way
right.
you always covered. You always covered, you know, in that aspect
right.
and eventually
right.
then start crossing over, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. Mhm. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. But the reason that we started down this entire path, and I'm sorry, family, if we lost you a little bit, was because Rashi brought up the point of the black church not doing what the grassroots work that they had once done in the past. And my point was they can't because of the funding, the kickbacks they're getting from the federal government from staying their asses on the sideline. I mean, seriously, look, all the killings in whatever city you're in are happening because churches aren't in the streets saying this shit ain't going to happen. So no matter what city you're in, you have either a mega church or a large church. And you telling me that if this was the 60s, the 50s, would not have those parishioners out in the street to take their streets back? No. They damn sure would. They damn sure would. But now they're not. Why? Because of the kickback. Black Lives Matter. What church? What mega church had a huge Black Lives Matter campaign going on? Huge Black Lives Matter campaign. What mega church? Tell me one. Just tell me one. The white boy in Chicago, closest thing you're going to get to it. The white boy in Chicago
is the closest thing you're going to get to it.
I don't remember his name. Yeah, this dude is off the chart. They love him up there in Chicago. That white boy in Chicago is the closest one you're going to get to it. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Closest thing you're going to get. He ain't got nothing to lose. He don't give a shit. He is worried about his parishioners and the people that look like them. He is tired of seeing grief amongst his parishioners and the people that look like them. People, we are one. We are all tied into this thing together. And the sooner we come to that realization, the better off we will all be. The sooner we come to that realization, the better off we'll all be. Look, every cloth has a loose stitch here and a loose stitch there. A little string. It's not perfect. That's okay. We always want to have them fringe motherfuckers. We all got them cousins that we love. Like, oh, God, these motherfuckers coming again. Ooh, I was hoping they didn't come this year. We all got them. We are no different. We are no different as a race of people that occupy this sphere in this cosmos. We are no different. We got some offshooters. We got some motherfuckers like, oh, good Lord. Yeah, I can believe that motherfucker did that shit. That motherfucker crazy. I told you he was crazy. I told you she was crazy. There's always going to be those people. But we are one. We got to take care of one another, man. We got to take care of one another. We got to look after one another. And it's not all about you doing something for somebody and then you pumping it out on social media or you just putting it out in the universe time and time again. Fuck that shit. Do it and shut your mouth. Keep it moving. Shut your mouth and keep it moving. If whomever you uplifted is never willing to give you your props, privately or publicly, then they don't deserve your time nor your effort. Cut them motherfuckers off and keep it moving. Everybody don't have to know your business. Everyone doesn't have to know the people around you's business. We all go through shit. High shit, low shit. We all go through it. High mean the good times, low mean the bad times. We all go through it. We all have our challenges. That doesn't mean everybody got to know about what you got going on. Everybody ain't got to know. It's not for everybody to know. Keep some shit personal. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But look, y'all, we going to wrap it because we got shit to do. Rashi need to get settled in.
I got to go find me somewhere to live. No, it's it. This is it. I can't keep living like this, Lee. I understand. I get it. there's two types of help. There's helping people the way they need to be helped and helping people as much as you're going to help them. And when you run up against the barrier between the two, you have that's where self-reliance has to kick in, or you once again are wasting your space time. And I'm not a waste of space time matter. I am not a waste of space time matter. I have purpose and worth, and I do enough work to have my own dwelling. So this weekend, I'm going to get out here. If I have to do it on bus or Uber, if I have to walk, I want to find me some place for me and my son to rest our heads, at least for the rest of the year. And then I'm going to find me some place more comfortable where I don't have to suffer for what I can do. They pay teachers in Kansas City $30,000, you know, max in Kansas City, and that's just not enough to even live. You know, rent is $12,000 if you want a decent place a year. They want at least $4,000 for lights a year, at least $4,000. They want at least $2,500 to $3,000 a year for your gas. And the water department, like about $2,000 a year for the water. And they give me $30,000, and they're giving me $30,000 max, and I don't even get that. That's what they will give me if I keep going and work at it and do some more training and do some. Man, come on. It's got to be something better than this, Lee.
This can't be life. Can't be love. I feel you. Jay-Z, by the way. Well, look, sister, you know, I'm here for you however, whenever you need me, you know that. But do what you need to do without a doubt. Without a doubt, do what you need to do. And we love you and appreciate you. Family, you all be good. You all be safe. As we say week in and week out, we love you and a damn thing you can do about it. We mean it. Y'all be safe out there, man. Look, you spring forward this week. Don't forget to spring forward this week. I don't want y'all asses showing to work on Monday talking about, Lee didn't tell me shit. Yeah, I did. You all be good. You all be safe. Enjoy what's left of your weekend. Until next week,